Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Jim Walton from The Third Choice, a ministry designed for dialogue and training, where we seek truth with no judgment, no jamming anything down anybody's throat, but lots of good information and answers you can trust. With each episode, I tackle a question of the day with the hope of both informing and stimulating thought and further questions. We want people to think. We want people to ask and to learn.
Hey, this is Jim Walton from The Third Choice, and I'm talking with Linda Penn from Today's Living Hope. We just want to talk about the coronavirus. I know it's been beat to death. It's all you hear in the news for the last month and a half. But I want to talk about the coronavirus and the country and Christianity. I think there's just lots of things for us to talk about. So glad you would join me, Linda. I'm glad to have you with me.
Isn't it? For such as this, we get to live here on earth and experience something that many of us in our generation and previous generations have never experienced. And there's so many components to it that it's fun to watch, investigate, pray about, think about, and even search our own souls, isn't it?
Yeah, there's so much going on that we've never experienced before, and that's what part of makes the fun and part of what makes the anxiety too. We're living in a very unique era.
I am looking for the get out of jail free card, if you want to know. Yeah. We're all getting ready, aren't we?
Yeah, well, let's hope it's a unique era. Let's hope it's not back in upon us before too long.
Yes.
But I wanted to talk, but let's first just talk about our country. You know, there's so many things going on that are worrisome and so many things going on that are good things. You know, we seem to be seeing the good and the bad. We live in a nation of increasing secularism, bitter partisan battles, politics, unreliable journalism, rampant self-interest, but at the same time, we see families spending time together, and we see people supporting each other, even putting their lives at risk to support each other and banding together as communities. Just so much going on in the country. It's fun and fearful to watch it.
You know, every time we've had things in our life, whether growing up or even as children in learning how to walk or run or how to learn new things or your education, there's always been a certain amount of pain about it. And yet from that, we have the greatest discoveries. We have the greatest strength. We learn from our mistakes and we move forward. And it's really encouraging to me to see the American country come together and lay down some of those things because of the crisis that we've been founded on, we've been known for. And yet, even though the differences are seems as extreme, the commonness of coming together for help, for community and strength during such times like this is really hopeful, isn't it?
It is, to watch how people respond. And I think people generally, I think we've seen a real nobility in people where they're trying to be responsible with their health and trying to be responsible citizens. And they're trying to help each other out. I see on the news things like, you know, the long lines that are at food giveaways, either by churches or by communities. And, you know, there are people that are being generous and people trying to help out. It's so nice to see.
It is. And yet we have those same lines at the grocery store now, not being able to go in or even to be able to cash out. We have to be sure we pack our patients as we go out in public.
Yeah. And it's only really at times of crisis when you hear the Constitution mentioned so many times. I know from working in a church, we never looked at our Constitution unless it were a time of crisis. Then everybody'd be digging into the Constitution to figure out, well, who's responsible for this and who gets to do that and who do we blame for that and where does this lie? And, you know, And so much about our constitution that's coming out now, even in the country, where people saying, well, is that constitutional? And, you know, people who have never read the constitution are now asking, is that constitutional? It's really interesting to see it all happen.
I think it's part of the new discovery. They're saying, are we going to go back to the normal? Are we going to have a new normal? And I really think that if you look at the broader picture, even at that, from God's perspective, it seems like he does want to reset in some areas, because everybody wants to run for the bylaws or the Constitution. And yet they have been established and set there for a reason. And they were never written, our Constitution was never written to limit the people. The Constitution was to free the people. So it's really interesting that we really need to go back and maybe take a second look at it and see what's going on. And
you're breaking
up. Compare it to now.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting to see what happens. You know, there's no call in this one. You know, the news, and so often when we hear the news, we can tell that lots of the different networks are reading off the same script. But, you know, you hear the mantra, the new normal that they're throwing at us, as if we will never go back to where we were. But what's going to happen now is, you know, going to be a different place than we ever were before.
I would hope it would take us to the point of the wholesomeness of family, the wholesomeness of getting together and spending time and not being so hectic with all the schedules. I've talked to parents and have children, and they're saying, well, you know, we miss the activity. We don't miss the stress of the busyness. Right. We may miss the community, but we don't miss all the frazzledness of what it's done to the family as a whole in the overall environment of how to do life.
Yeah, my daughter, like many families, you know, my daughter has children, and she considers herself just a 24/7 taxi driver, because it's just always shuttling the kids here and there from this activity to that activity, from school and back again for extracurricular activities to church and for youth group and back and forth. And it just gets to be nuts after a while that all you're doing is driving places. And so this has allowed families to just sit and be, which for many of them is a radical change of pace.
You know, I think what helped me over my life when I finally decided to yield my life totally to the Lord Jesus in my late 20s, some older women in the church came around me. And one of the first things they helped me with was just who I was in Christ and my identity as a young, godly woman who wanted to live for Christ. And we actually spent time what that would look like and kind of did a mission statement, kind of what that would look like and kind of the what would God want that for me? And then when you establish that, and that's how you want to live, whether it would be for an individual or even a mission statement for the family based on Christ, what you would really think about eliminating or choosing priorities, or because of some things you had set down, you can now freely choose not to be a part of something.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to notice. I saw a 20-minute video this morning by Francis Chan, and I did send a copy of it to you, Linda. And, you know, one of the things he was saying is that I hope we never go back to the way it was, you know, that whether you want to call it a new normal or stepping out or moving forward, that I really hope we never go back to that, but that God is moving us somewhere and we should move with him. It's a very a healthy perspective, I think, he gave.
I listened to the same thing. What I really enjoyed, he was saying too, each one of us that are here on earth right now living through this has been the complete design of God. And I think we forget that and just look upon ourselves or the hardships or what's going on instead of having the bigger picture, how we get to be part of his plan, you know, during this time. Isn't that has got to be exciting, maybe a little scary, but I do think we have to think about it, don't we?
Yeah, but change always brings anxiety. You know, we like the comfort and security of things the way they are and things the way we're used to them and things the way we're comfortable. And so when things change, we always get a little ruffled because we don't know where it's going to lead and what it's going to mean for us. And so we always approach change with some kind of reluctance just because we don't know where it's taking us. Whereas our routine and our schedules and the way we are used to doing things, we know we can live with, and we know it's predictable.
Yes, it's. It depends if you're like a person who wants very much structure and kind of routine, and then there's kind of the spontaneous side of some people, you know, that all that has to mix together. And I know the different personalities that God has given each one of us actually helps us, or maybe sometimes hinders us, how we are receiving what's going on right now. Some people love, they don't care if they ever leave their house again, just, you know, they're introverts. And if you're an extrovert, you're ready to crawl out of the walls, you know, you think yeah. You have to escape somewhere, you know, go sure. somewhere.
Well, the question of the hour is, you know, what changes do you foresee that Corona is bringing to America? We know that it's going to change us irreversibly. There's no getting around that. You know, every intense crisis changes the country and the people irreversibly. Some very notable examples, things like the Great Depression in 1929. Boy, there were some major changes that happened in the financial structure of the country so that that never happened again. After Pearl Harbor, the significant military changes, and even in the attitude of people. And the same thing happened after 9/11, you know, the whole TSA thing, airports were changed, travel was changed, the way we, you know, the Department of Homeland Security was born. These are big changes that come whenever there's a large event. And I think Corona is one of those. So Linda, you know, I regard you as one of the thought leaders in America. I'm just curious what you see is on our horizon.
I see several categories. One would be physically how we take care of ourselves, because this has brought attention to compromised immune systems. So, and that it seems to not be respecter of age in some ways. And then yet anybody, they're saying, I've heard this number change 3 or 4 times. Now, if you're 60, you're in harm. If you're 65, you know, but how do we take care of ourselves physically? How do we eat? Are we on blood pressure medication? Are we a diabetic? How can we boost our immune system, number one, and actually decide to live healthier lives, not to be susceptible to these things, maybe by diet? Physically certainly has to be one of them. The other one is our personal walk of decisions, whether it be financially, do we really need everything? Our finances, do we need to be charging everything? Do we have to live the same as our neighbor? You know, just reevaluating what you have in your life, what you can share with people, what you really don't need. And because we don't know what the future holds. And then there's the spiritual aspect of where we are personally. If we don't know Jesus, where is my mortality right now? If I could be one that would be so susceptible that I could be dying and I have no idea where I'm going.
Yeah. Yeah. I, you know, at least, you know, just to comment on a few of the things you said, one of them was sort of the way we treat our finances in ways I'm a little surprised, in ways I'm not surprised at all, that people seem to have no resources for a rainy day. It's interesting. I watch on the news some people with interviews on TV, and they're living in beautiful homes, and they have nice clothes on, and they're obviously comfortably fed. And the interviewer is saying to them, you know, where's your bank account? And they say, I have no bank account. And I'm going, seriously, you live in a house like that with beautiful clothes like that, mm-hmm. and you didn't save anything? you know, people, as we know, people have spent themselves into great amount of debt. And I wonder if this will motivate people to maybe plan a little bit financially and put something aside in case this happens again.
I think it will be something that they really need to consider. And I hope it won't be like our 9/11, where everybody, you know, yes, we had government-wise some things put into place. Our churches were full for at least 90 days after 9/11. And you've seen what has happened since then. And yet people are coming to know the Lord. It's a time to really reevaluate. And I think even now that we are isolated in any way, because I think we're even over busy in the isolation. We got kids to take care of. We got everybody's home trying to work. You're cooking more. You're not out as much. To really have time to reflect and reset, that's even becoming hard to think about during this time.
That is, I saw some articles on the news last night and the night before where they're interviewing parents, and the parents are saying, I'm just sort of going out of my mind because I'm trying to work from home and my children are trying to school from home, and they need more help than I'm able to give them because I need to be working. And they, and the kids have questions and the kids have activities, and you know, they're just under stress. And some of them, even as marital couples, saying, we haven't been with our spouse for this many hours in a row since we were first married. And we are sort of struggling to get reacquainted with each other.
So we really do have to realize, if you're a Christian of the Holy Spirit, that yes, we have the head knowledge of who we are in Christ. We go to church, we, you know, listen to sermons or even taking Bible studies or in community, but we really got to look inside and how are we operating within our own spirit through the Holy Spirit? Because someone asked me the other day, when does the Holy Spirit just lose it? When is the Holy Spirit allowed to just lose it? Like, we kind of lose our temper, or we get snappy and scrappy, and, you know, we get short with people. And I want to say the Holy Spirit never loses it.
No.
But the yielding to the Holy Spirit from the flesh is really important. And I think that's our key to how we handle every day. We got to start the day with Him and be in it every minute and end the day, or it's really hard to make it, isn't it?
It is. It is. It's a time when we find that we really need spiritual support structures. If we could say it that way, church and God and the Word of God, you know. You know, another change I see as possibly coming, hopefully, even is in the way we do business and the way we do government. You know, a lot of businesses are finding out that, you know, maybe we should not have shipped so much of our labor and our products overseas, or maybe not to China anyway. And there may be some restructuring of manufacturing, either sending it elsewhere in the world, like elsewhere in Southeast Asia or South America, or over in parts of Africa, rather than to China. But there may be also a great movement to bring some of our manufacturing and our development back into the 50 states so that we face the next crisis like this differently. I just think that we're going to see some business changes too.
As you look over time in history, you find whether it's even historically, whether it's church movement and leadership, whether it's even how we educate and how many times we've, you know, changed our form of education and how we do it. Everybody is saying that our parents can't even teach math anymore because of how they've changed, you know, how you go about it. The pendulum usually swings, you know, from right to left. From one extreme, and an event or circumstance causes it to go to the next extreme. Perhaps when we lost so much of our business to foreign countries, and now we're over in one extreme, it really seems like balance is more of the right way to go, and to really look at what is happening to bring balance so we don't have extreme. And perhaps in the balance, we could have more unity and respect for each, not taking advantage of each other.
Yeah, I think Corona will help bring more balance to our lives. We had become quite askew with a frenzy of activities and a frenzy of spending and a false sense of security. And I think that Corona is going to bring back some sense of recentering, replanning, and balance.
You know, in the scriptures, it also talks about that when we are caused and God takes us through times of suffering, the long, the perseverance and the long suffering builds character, which then takes us to hope. It seems like our lessons are better learned when we've had to suffer than when we've just lived a good life and go on and think the next day is, you know, nothing's going to happen. And it's not when we have tribulation, not if we have tribulation, but when we have it. And it certainly has come, and we really need to learn well and learn from our mistakes.
Yeah. And it's interesting you talk about, you know, you use the phrase, we don't really know what's going to happen. And as you are very well aware, because I know I've talked to you about it, that, you know, there's quite a bit of frenzied activity out there about end times conversation and apocalyptic language and about theories about what's going on out there. So it's interesting to sort of observe what's going on in our global dynamics and the role that various people and countries play, and how they might be fitting into biblical prophecy is a very intriguing sort of study and activity right now. You know, is China going to be toppled from its sort of pinnacle position as far as global products and economic primacy? What is going to happen in the United States because of this economic shutdown lasting for, you know, who knows how long it's going to last, and what will that do to the economy? Will the United States take a different global position? You know, what changes do you foresee in terms of like nationalism and globalism and all that? Because I know you read about this and talk about it extensively, Linda.
Looking and just watching all the time. And you can't look at it just historically or even from the media's point of view or just the trends from year to year in the United States. You have got to look at it biblically. You've got to compare with what's going on. You got to look at Daniel and Ezekiel and Revelation. And, you know, some people, you know, the rapture is going to happen soon. And we don't know when the rapture is going to come. Only the Lord knows. But as I heard one pastor say this week, from the time of 2000, when we started this adventure of God and what he's doing, we are 2000 years closer, are we? Or what, you know, that progression of things.
Yes.
So if we're worrying about it coming, we're probably the closer of any other time and generation right now of when the Lord is coming. But there's certain things that he has put in place about, you know, one world government and some of these other things that we've got to pay attention to. And, you know, it's really hard when you think things are so far away or it's not touching you and your environment, your home, your city, your church. But you have to observe there's something going on. Even if you don't know what's going on, you know something's going on.
Something's going on. There's something going on behind the scenes. There's some big players at play and something's going on. Earlier I mentioned, you know, it's interesting that people never check the church constitution until there's some kind of a problem in the church. And people never really think about what our United States Constitution says until they want to say, is that constitutional? Or on the other side, that you cannot, you know, deprive me of my constitutional rights. Well, then we go looking at the Constitution. It's interesting now with all this stuff going on that people are finally opening their Bibles and saying, what does the Bible say?
Yes, and it's wonderful to see that. I know when everything closed down, they said places like were still open because they were deemed essential. If they had Bibles in the store, they're gone. they're absolutely gone. And we could probably check with other places like Barnes, probably Barnes and Noble isn't open, but how about Amazon? How many Bibles have gone off the shelves and people wanting to know what in the world is going on? And we're trying to discover what is this? Is this just a fight between socialism and capitalism? Is this a fight between light and dark? Is this a fight between good and evil? Mm-hmm. Well, it's all of it.
Yeah, there's always the fight between light and dark. There's always the fight between good and evil. You know, there's just a lot going on. Yeah, capitalism versus socialism and nationalism versus globalism. Certainly, you know, a lot of people asking the questions about, you know, one world government and are we heading towards a greater role of the United Nations and the World Health Organization and you know, a greater not only cooperation, but interdependency between nations that'll lead us toward a globalistic, not only globalistic economy, but globalistic healthcare and possibly even globalistic government. You know, people are just talking about all of those subjects and it is driving people. I mean, that's not really what we want them going to the Bible to find out. We really want them going to the Bible to meet God. But whatever drives them to the Bible is probably a good step in the right direction.
Well, what's so neat about the Bible, it's the Alpha to Omega. It's the beginning of the end. In every part of the Bible, you see Jesus in there. If you want to see examples of Jesus, you can look in the Old Testament. If you want to see Jesus come and the fulfillment of that, you can look in the New Testament. But whatever we're worried about and we don't understand and we can't comprehend on a human level or whatever level we live outside of our skin with, the Bible has every answer, what it's going to be, when it's going to be, and how it's going to be.
Yeah, people are very interested. There's a spiritual openness now. I know I was talking to our mutual friend, Jean, and she was telling me that about how she's had so many opportunities to share the gospel because people are afraid and people are concerned and people don't understand. And that she just has had wide open doors that are not normal for her to share the gospel with friends and just people she's waiting in line with, or, you know, interesting.
Striking up a conversation while you're somewhere. We have been sharing the Saturday on the radio program. We were sharing the full plan of salvation on the radio, just felt led to interject that in the topic of change your thoughts, change your life, and biblically, and to share that. And I know in counseling situations, which I also am part of, and Healing Journey class by Zoom, people are coming to know the Lord and they are fearful and they don't know what's happening. The other thing they are, Jim, that I think is really pushing in on us, we're sick and tired of being sick and tired. Whether we're overwhelmed, whether it's too much busyness, we know there has to be more emotionally, more spiritually. They're looking for, probably if you took it all the way down, I just want to find some purpose, what I've been here for, what I am to do, and I want some peace.
Yep. People are looking for those. And the time is ripe for those conversations, mm-hmm. because people are looking for those. I want to segue the conversation. I mean, I sort of dipped our toes in the national scene and the global scene, but, you know, we really have to think hard about the domino effect of what Corona and what is happening politically and internationally, what effect it's having on the church. As we know, the church, just like everything else, has basically been shut down for the past month. Shut down only in the sense that churches have been required to go digital or to go very small instead of gathering and assembling, congregating, you know. But as to whether this is going to have any long-term effects on the church and whether it should, again, if I go back to Francis Chan's comments is one of his comments was, as I mentioned before, I hope we don't go back to the way things were. Now, he didn't really elucidate on what the specifics of what he didn't want us to go back to and what he thought we should move forward to. But at least we're seeing now, right now, this is early May 2020, that the government is trying to take some control over the churches. We just read in the news last night about Kansas City saying that if the church was going to gather more than 10 people together, they wanted the names and addresses and contact information of anybody who's in attendance, and that that's going to be the law. And if you don't conform to that, there's going to be prosecution of up to 6 months in prison, or of they'll shut your church down. And I'm like, wow, this is astounding.
No, and this is overboard. Whatever it is behind it, it is wrong, because yes, we are going to get the Constitution out and we're going to read it. Plus, it's the other thing is do not forsake the assembly and the needing of people being together. Whether, I mean, if you're going to take it that far, then no sports activities, no gatherings, no weddings, no. And that needs to be looked at and seriously changed. And I know of a pastor in one state actually being fined $1,000. And then he had an open service in cars where windows were rolled up. And now they want to fine him $10,000. And I don't know where everybody feels they have the liberty, because I think some people even have said, you must stay home, you must do this. I think some of the governors, I've heard them say, well, we know, and you do understand that this is voluntary. Now, you know, so some people are deciding to like back up a little bit who've had some authority, and then some other people are way overboard. But we do have to look at that as citizens. And this is where I struggle. The church and state does have to come together, whether we like it or not. You know, it's, and do you, I don't want us to be, I'm just going to say it, Jim. We can't be frogs in a pot. We just cannot be.
And we can't. European World War II taught us that, you know, and that, you know, those who don't know history are doomed to repeat it. But we know that history, and that's what happened there. I don't really see what's so contagious about people staying in their cars with their windows rolled up. Parking in the same parking lot for a church service. I'm being honest. I don't understand why that's so taboo and why that's so contagious. And it's things like that when the police show up and fine and disperse, that it seems like the government is trying to have some control of the church that is not a legitimate kind of even health concern. I don't get it.
It does seem extreme. And, you know, we had good weather here on Sunday, and so many people were out in parks, and you could see family, you could see mom and dad and the kids, you could see people riding their bikes. And I think we're going to gradually just come out of some of that stuff, and people needing to find the freedom for that. For the church, I think even what Francis Chan was talking about is looking for the church not to do church, but to be the church.
Yeah.
And even taking it further than, and there's so many beautiful things happening. Churches are collecting food and resources and things and helping families and doing so many wonderful things during this time. And it should be happening, and it should happen on a continual basis. In order to bring that about also to the level of why God has put us here on earth, where is our witnessing? Where is our fire for the Lord and sharing Christ? Live Zoom.
That's right. When you're live, anything can happen.
Anything can happen. But do you know what I'm talking about? Because yeah. we can't just do the church. We got to be the church. And it did push us outside of the buildings, but it needs to be. And there are people, I know one pastor said, I live on a cul-de-sac, and the neighbors are saying, if we bring our lawn chairs out and just sit in our yards, Will you talk to us about God and Jesus? That's happening.
Wow, that's great.
That's happening this week. And those of us who need to mentor someone or talk to someone, yes, we're calling to see if people are okay. But to the depth of discipleship for change, life, and sharing other, you cannot be prepared to live until you're prepared to die.
What do you mean by that? What do you mean by that, Linda?
The peace that comes when you know who you are in Christ, the purpose for why you were brought here, for your ears, your mouth, your feet, your arms, to be a person, to share Christ and to be a disciple and make a disciple. First priority has to be in your home. You know, I looked at a Barna. I think I sent this to you. I looked at something kind of that came out of Barna, and all the levels of influence that people have, whether it's mom, whether it's dad, whether it's friend, neighbor, teenager, whatever, the first most significant and critical influence on a long-term thing for children is the mom. I'm not excusing spiritual head of the home at all, but they, you know, work and some other things. But how much we influence our kids to influence as they become adults, that's the only reason God put us on here. And I think that's why part of the reason the pressure's on.
Do you think that Corona is changing the way Christians perceive church?
That's a good question. I don't perceive church.
That from now on, they're going to think about church in a whole different way.
I think we need to take a survey, but you want my first.
Yeah.
I think we're so wrapped up in the fear of coronavirus that we can't see any further. And we can't see further from our own personal needs. We see to shore up ourselves spiritually and grow, wanting to grow deeper to be sustained and having a faith. But to the extent of what that means for us to live out now the rest of our lives, that's a very good question.
Yeah, I mean, church has always been sort of activities and ministries. It's gathering together and having, you know, worship service, but it's also having study groups and food kitchens and senior citizens and youth groups. And, you know, it's all these activities that we do together for our own discipleship and to help the community and to evangelize. But, you know, now we're all split up and we're only in touch with each other electronically. Aside from the random view in the neighborhood, you know, passing somebody walking their dog or in the grocery store picking up essential things. But whether it's changing the way we think about what church is and how it works, it'll be very interesting to see whether when this is over, we just go back to the old normal or whether there's some kind of new normal because of different perceptions.
That has yet to be revealed, doesn't it? I mean, you and I have lived long enough that we grew up there. There wasn't all these segments of church. We did have Sunday morning. We had Sunday school. We had Sunday night. We had Wednesday night. But we weren't divided by age groups. We weren't divided with a youth group. All of that has been divided and segmented out. And how many years have I been part of, you know, women's ministry? I think it's all open for reevaluation with maybe a reset on what our true purpose and goals are for that reset. Prepare them to live every day and to reach people in a stronger, deeper discipleship of who we are. Boy, those are tough questions we have to wrestle with. And I know pastors are really, you know, there's a lot of prayer groups and they're praying on how do I keep my congregations encouraged and hopeful and structured. And what are some of the hard things we're going to have to deal with? Pastors are already looking, we're already looking at that in our shepherding and caring, whether you're, a church meeting at a certain place or a denomination, or you're a parachurch organization, or how you're developing people to reach the world as a whole, just in your own area. I know we're working on that here in Buffalo with several things planned for the fall, if we can help them. But it is, we got to ask the hard questions now, don't we?
Yeah, because it really is making everybody think about all kinds of things. As we said, business, government, healthcare, finances, globalism, nationalism, everything, but the church too, ecclesiology. Now, here's an interesting thing, Linda. For 3 years, you and I and Gene Milliken, I 3 years ago, we sat around a table and said, you know what? God is doing something in the church, and it's going to break us out of our models of church. And there is something new on the horizon. God is doing something that he's going to break apart church the way we know it and start a sort of a new pattern of church. You and I and Gene thought real hard and have talked long about, but we didn't know what that was going to look like and how it was going to develop. And we've been sort of watching some of the trends towards house churches in the last year and a half, and wondering if that's the new form the church has got. Now, all of a sudden, Corona is upon us. And we've said God is going to bring some radical changes to the church and the way we do church. Now, here we are. Corona is forcing the conversation. Not only that, it's forcing the changes.
Yes. And in that, we have to have a deeper depth and a wider breadth of our own personal intimate relationships in God, not just another time of socialism. We've got to get really down to studying the Word of God and praying and seeking His will, not being told His will. His will, it's not so much to discover His will, but to give Him the freedom and the surrender from us to reveal His will to us. Now, Jim and Jean, and you know, we've talked about it, and you know, we didn't see totally everything ourselves until we were outside the church. There is a different view.
There is a different view, that's for sure.
Very interesting. It's been interesting to just watch.
In ways, I am sort of agreeing with Francis Chan. We brought him up a number of times during this conversation that, you know, this is a time for us to really take a step back and think, and maybe to think about doing church in a different way. God is at work, and even in a time of crisis. Now, if you think back to the book of Acts, you know, where Jesus had told them, go to the Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts. And all they did was stay in Jerusalem, and they stayed in Jerusalem, and they stayed in Jerusalem. And so what God did was he brought a crisis to them. His name was Saul of Tarsus, and he blew them out into the outer reaches, anything to get away from Saul. And the only way for him to motivate Christians to do what he told them to do was to bring this deadly crisis to them and, in a sense, blow them right out of the water and splattered them all over the Roman Empire. And the rest is history. Now, wouldn't it be interesting? You and I and Gene have been talking about what is God doing in the church and how is he going to bring about these changes and what is it that he's up to? And here we are, a global crisis blown us right out of the water in terms of how we, the only way we know how to do church and the only way we've ever done church. And now all of a sudden, we better start thinking differently.
Well, I think we're going to have to lose our comfortableness. We're going to have to lose it has to have a sacrifice to it. And it has to take us out of our comfort zone. And that's where we find Jesus. That's where we find the affirmation of walking with him, walking in that purpose, and to hear his voice and to know it. And whether you're the only one, once he has spoken to you in alertness, in that intimacy, the only thing to do is to walk in that obedience and to do it. And he will show you how. And he, you know, he calls you and then he qualifies you. Always have walked by faith, never knowing totally the outcome, just the first step forward. And you talk about faith. You talk about the faith that he wants us to establish now. He didn't use this for anything but our total good in this whole situation, if we choose to look at it from his view in so many ways.
Yeah, it should drive us back to scripture. It should drive us to our knees in prayer. And we should be open to being the church in a different way than we used to be, that we've ever been. And only as we open ourselves to maybe that creative possibility will we be open, you know, rather than, no, I want to do it the way we always have done it. You know, we need to be open to what God is doing.
Well, so many pastors are thinking and praying, even before this coronavirus and other leaders that we would look up to and highly respect, that there is a new time. There is an awakening. There is time for revival again. And he is about, he's preparing his people. Oh my, what an exciting time. I want to be prepared. I want to do whatever he asks. I want to walk in the truth of that. I want people to know Jesus. You see so many people when you're at the grocery store, even in your neighborhood, and you just wonder, if the rapture would happen today, would they still be here? I know I'm going to be gone, but, or you look around, or even family members, so many families have family members. We have family members that still yet need to come to know Jesus. And we can't, now I'm not saying hellfire and brimstone, but we've got to listen closely to the Holy Spirit and be nurtured by that and then walk in obedience to it. Yeah. Because of the time is near. People that were in the hospital are thinking, oh, if I just had one more time to say hi to them or to talk to them about the Lord. And if God puts you a person in front of you, he wants you to care about them, minister to them, and share Christ. I don't care who they are. Everyone is a divine appointment.
Yeah, and as Paul said in Ephesians, you know, make the most of every opportunity because the days are short.
Yes.
Thanks, Linda. It's been a great conversation. I appreciate you talking to me. Anything else that's just tickling your mind you want to say?
I just think it's a great time to be living for Jesus. It's a great time to be in hope, but it's also a great time to share truth of what is happening. It is a time to share truth and allow God to expose sin, whether it's at a personal level, whether it's a city level, state level, global level. The sovereign hand of God has given the control of Jesus Christ to the visible and invisible, but we need to cooperate with them. He is trying to tell us a few things, and we do need to look at all the things we talked about today. We know it's all incorporated, mind, body, soul, and spirit, and that's why we live here on earth, because it is all incorporated. And we were the ones who were set the major, weren't we? We were the ones who were to come and to share Christ for the glory of God, to bring others, to do the work of God for his glory. There should be so many more of us.
It's always so enriching to talk to you, Linda. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim.
All right.
For more information, please visit the website at www.thethirdchoice.org. And I invite you to go to the Q&A forum for more information and dialogue. Thanks for tuning in today.